when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Himself. Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everybody out there in Blood River Radio Land. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and you are listening to Blood River Radio. And it is May the 22nd in the year of our Lord and Savior 2021. Jesus Christ is our Savior. No name under the sun can be saved. That's the only name under the sun in which man can be saved. Jesus Christ, that's it. People, we're going to have a little fun tonight in the first part of the show. We got poor old Matt. I feel so sorry for that dude, man. You know what he did? He went and got married. They played that song for him, just for him. I got to say that my favorite part, I think, is, I'm on this old rock pile with my ball and chain. Yeah, Matt done got him a ball and chain, son. But he, you know what? He needs to be there with the rest of us. I'm sure Jay can answer that, but because you know Jay's been married a long time too. But anyway, we're dedicating the show to Matt and Miss Abigail, aka Abigail. Matt is a dear guy. Y'all hear us talk about him all the time. We call him Matt the Mole. And like I say, we're dedicating this show to Matt the Mole and Miss Abigail, aka Mrs. Mole. Her real name is Abigail, but I call her Abigail because she's just a good old girl. She's not as redneck as I am, but you know, she must be a little redneck to marry old Matt. But anyway, I'm going to bring old Matt on right now. But before I do, hey, I got to make these announcements. Excuse me. This is my old senior. I'm having a senior moment here. I got to, first of all, I got to say the prayer. Hold on. That's what I got. Matt's got me all shook up. People, if you will, you know the drill here at Blood River Radio. Please bow your heads so I'm going to get ready to say the prayer. Okay. Almighty God, all Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Eddie Miller, God of Blood River Radio, God of Liberty News Radio, if you will, Lord, please stick by us. Let this radio show, let the people have a little bit of fun tonight, Lord, but let us never, ever forget the enemy out there that we're fighting. And if you, Lord, if you will, give us your grace, oh God, so we may fight this enemy to the best of our ability. Let us always do your will, God. And if we, in one, the day we cease to do your will, just do us in, Lord. And that's all this in Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me for forgetting the prayer, people. I'm really excited to have Matt and Abigail on tonight. But listen, I got to thank our donors right quick, like, because this show can't be on without our donors. Old Jim Zim out there, the combat infantryman, got up close and personal. I always say that because he's got up close and personal. He's got the Purple Heart to show for it. Man, he, what a wonderful guy that is. He listens to our show all the time. He supports us. What a wonderful man. Also, Dennis and Pam, they donated. They sent us some more money because, you know, I guess they think I'm wishy-washy. First, I'm going to Florida, then I'm not. Then I'm going, then I'm not, because it's so dadgum expensive. I mean, it's just incredibly expensive to go down there this time of year. But anyway, they sent us some money for the trip. Rich in Tennessee. You know, the old boy we're always talking about, he says, you're talking too much, you're not talking enough. You're talking too high, you're talking too low. But we give him a hard time. He gives us a hard time. He's one hell of a guy. I went to Charlottesville with him. back in August the 12th of 2017, as Matt was there in Charlottesville with us. Also, Rich sent a really good donation, and he really did. So he must kind of like us after all. Anyway, Alan of Florida, man, he sent a real good donation. He wants us to use that money just for Florida trip. It says people have sent money in for the Florida trip. I can't get out of going. It's really going to be an honor, but it's kind of I get anxiety sometimes when I go on a trip like that, especially when funds are low. Amos from Lower Atlanta, he sent us a donation. He sent us a real night note. No, someone read this note right quick. Like, it says, "Dear Bombardier, stay strong in Christ. We do what we can if we just will. Only possible with his strength and his faithfulness and courage. Thanks for your work." Amos from L.A. Also, Bigfoot sent another donation and more German Nazi money, Nazi stamps. God bless you, Bigfoot. I'll treasure those. They're in my safe right now. Also, James in Washington. James in Washington sent a donation. Ken in New York. He's great. And by the way, I talked to Frank Hawaii today. I think Frank Hawaii is going to... He talked about coming down there to Florida, you know. We've got to set those plans, I guess. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. Like I said, I've been wishy-washy. And also, Lee Cochran gave us a little donation today. He surely did. So God bless all you people. We could not do this show without the donations. And one more announcement. The general, you know, my favorite guy, General Nick Glasovic, he's still out of the country. So he can't be on the show right now. As soon as he gets back in country, we're going to get him hooked up back again. So I think that's all the announcements I have to do. Now, we're going to let Mr. Matt introduce himself and Miss Abigail, the new Mrs. Moe. How you doing tonight, Matt, fella?
Oh, it's a wonderful night. Things are great, and I'm really happy to be on the show. Thank you for having us. I really like that song you played for us. I can tell you worked hard picking out the perfect song. I don't know if she's a ball and chain. She's actually, I would say she's the gem of the crown of America. So, how about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, she is a crown. I've only seen her one time, but I spotted her right off the bat. Just, you know what, and I can tell you the truth. This is no exaggeration. We were up there in Montgomery Bell, Tennessee, a couple of years ago, me and Matt and Lee. And we did 7 hours of radio that day. I don't know if you remember that, Matt, but you and me, the Blood River Radio, we produced Sam's show, a lot of his show, 2 hours of that. We did a 2 hours of our show. We produced 3 hours the Liberty of Political Suspect. We did that for James. We did that up there. Blood River Radio did that, guys. But Matt was up there, and I said, when he saw Abigail, you should have seen his eyes. I thought, man, why don't you just, you know, use X-ray, burn a hole in her, man. But, you know, I said.
I kept asking her questions. I was testing her. So I asked her so many questions, I was pestering her. But I had to get all the preliminary big questions out of the way. Are you a Christian? Well, what church do you go to? What church are you? You know, these types of things.
I tell you what,
he really struck my heart that night. And I was like, this is the word I would say.
Well, you must have been, because when I was really, I said, this is one tough dude. After the third time she pepper sprayed you, dead on, man, you kept coming back for more. I said, that dude is in love. Yeah, I mean, that pepper, that was at Magnum. It said Grizzly Bear, open only in emergency. And she had her mask, two of those gas masks on, hosed you all the way down with it. And Matt actually crawled over there, you know, begging for her hand, you know. But anyway, hey, all seriousness aside, hey, we just told the folks that you've been married. We've been talking about y'all for about a month. Let's let ladies go first. Let's let Abigail tell us about what it was like when she met Mr. Matt the Mole.
Let her tell the real story, eh?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, Miss Abigail?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I certainly can. Okay. I most certainly can. And you have a... Go ahead, dear. What's it like? What was it like when you saw old Matt?
Oh, well, he was a little bit persistent and kept asking questions, and I was very busy. But he just kept asking questions, and I finally just kind of looked at him and said, you know, I don't really know how to answer some of those, because I was, you know, kind of busy and had my mind on other things. But I did make a point to go out on my way to talk to him later on, because I thought he was really handsome and really just great-looking guy, and seemed to have a lot of good things about
him. Do you hear that, Eddie?
Yeah, I recorded this. We're recording all this. Be careful what you say, Miss Abigail. Because we have a lie detector hooked up to the screen, too. But, yeah, you know, I saw your brothers and sisters up there. Thought you came from a really good family. And you impressed me as being smart beyond your years. You really did. And I thought, well, you know, if Matt's going to get married, he needs somebody with some smarts because the boy needs it bad. So evidently he, because he hangs around us. So, you know, he couldn't be too smart. But anyway, hanging around the political cesspool and Blood River Radio guys, you got to have a few screws.
All right.
But, hey, well, tell us a little bit. We're getting close to going to the break, but start tell us a little bit about your honeymoon.
Well, I picked out, we both had talked about it. We'd never seen or been to Key West, either of us, and we wanted to go to Key West. So originally we'd planned to go straight from the wedding to Key West, and then to come back and kind of wrap it up with a little quick trip to Gatlinburg to kind of enjoy a Tennessee favorite of people's. Since we're both from Tennessee, and neither of us have spent an extensive amount of time in Gatlinburg, so we thought that'd be perfect. Things didn't quite go as planned, though, and
Well, man, I don't know if you hear it now, but that's your new theme song.
Oh, yeah.
That's your theme song, son. You have to live with it, buddy, for many more years. But after this, we'll be right back. We're going to talk to Matt the Mole and Miss Abigail, Mrs. Mole. We'll be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
Just a few more days. With that gal of mine, with that gal of mine, she'll be waiting for me when I've done my time.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller back. Anyway, we're going to go right back to Matt and Abigail, and we're going to let them finish talking about their honeymoon. We're going to get them a few minutes to tell us about how their honeymoon was, because we love Matt and Abigail so much here, and they're part of the show. And so we're going to go right back to Matt. And after we get through talking to Matt, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to bring on Fred Lucher. We're going to bring him on just a minute. Excuse me. And Matt's going to ask Fred some questions. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to let Abigail and Matt fly. We're going to bring Miss Monica Schaefer on. Go ahead, Matt. You and Abigail, finish telling about your honeymoon for a few minutes.
So the original plan was to go to Key West, then Gatlinburg. But due to sorrowful and tragic circumstances, immediately after our wedding, we actually ended up switching it up. We ended up going to Gatlinburg first, and then we ended up going to Key West. And we actually had to get called back from Gatlinburg and then called back from Key West because of hospitalization and then a tragic death. But it's a terrible way to try to start a marriage, but it's not something you can plan or predict around. So anyway, that's something that happened to us, unfortunately, but we had a really good honeymoon. We really did. We kind of enjoyed both places. I don't know. Abigail, what do you think about Gatlinburg?
Oh, it was wonderful. We didn't have enough time to spend there, though, so I'm looking forward to going back. It was amazing. It's made it, like, I've grown up in Tennessee for like the last 10 years, and I've never even been there. So.
Yeah, it was nice. I took her to a breakfast place out there that I like, we really wanted to get out on the town and enjoy it. It was a nice, cool weather. It hadn't really heated up like it, you know, the summer heat yet hasn't kicked in. We were both eager to get down to the ocean. We really wanted to see Key West, and we'd heard a lot about it. But anyway, and we got all the way down there. We only was able to spend one night, and we had to come back. But then we were able to get back down there and finish out the rest of our week down there. So we kind of did some all-night driving back and forth, but then we were able to spend about 3 days remainder of our week down in Key West. And Key West was really beautiful. It had really the whole island feel, palm trees, coconuts, all of that. And that was one part of the country I've never seen. Of course, you know, I've been an over-the-road truck driver for a while. I've seen most parts of the country several times, but that was one place I'd never seen. So we got down there to the farthest island south of the U.S. America, the continental Americas. Saw the island down there. It was really pretty. Abigail, what did you think about the island?
Oh, it was extremely hot. And... But it was really nice, and it was very beautiful, and we were able to walk almost anywhere we wanted to go, which was good, because we'd both spent like 16 hours straight in the car driving down there, so it felt good to just be able to walk around anywhere you needed to go. And the little house that Matt rented for us, it was beautiful, perfect. It had a lot of trees around it, so it was really well shaded. So it was really just a really great house and great stay for the amount of time it was. And yeah, it was really, Eddie, really hot.
Eddie, did you know there's a bunch of chickens and roosters on Key West Island? Just free range.
No,
we didn't take them down there.
yeah, there were chickens everywhere. And iguanas.
Iguanas. Yep. Actually, I was in the kitchen one morning cooking, and I hear this bang, boom, right down. We'll take a look to my left, and there's this dead iguana on our porch there, just falling out of the tree. So, yeah, they're everywhere there.
I didn't know that, but, you know.
Matt wanted to cook it, but thankfully we had to leave before he had a chance to do that, because I did not want to see him cooking iguana.
Well, you know, don't let anything go to waste. I keep trying to teach Abigail this already, so you can't let anything go to waste. She wasn't too keen on that idea, was she?
Well, you're teaching them right. And you know what? Since we're about to run out of time, Matt, I'm going to tell you and Abigail, everybody knows how much I love little Matt. In fact, me and Rich and Janice used to talk about we're going to fight over who's going to adopt Matt. But now looks like Abigail won the whole battle. Now she got him.
Yeah, I got him. You guys can't have him now. Come on.
Well, Miss Abigail, we love you to death. And I can tell y'all love each other and your voice. And I'm glad y'all had a wonderful honeymoon. But before we let y'all go, if Matt wants to ask, and we're going to bring Matt again next week, God willing. But go ahead, Matt, ask Fred the questions you'd like to ask him before y'all go.
first of all, it's an honor, Mr. Fred Lusker, to talk to you. You are an icon of truth, and I really appreciate the work you've done in your life. But I had some follow-up questions to your first interview that you gave on. One question I wanted to ask was, when you first got over there in Germany, did they send, and I mean they, the powers that be, the people who are creating the narrative, did they send a, like a team to follow you and kind of like an attaché, like to kind of almost to force you into their narrative view?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Matt, I don't think he understood the question. Ask him that question again.
So the question is, did the people who were overseeing your research over there, your scientific examination of the building, did they send their own group to overshadow you and
no,
follow you around?
I came with
intimidation.
I came with a team of people from Canada that Ernst Zundel sent, plus I had my own draftsman and my wife, and we were pretty much by ourselves. They didn't know who we were.
So. Interesting. So, also, is it true I heard that your son had died while you were over there? Did he hear the question?
Hey, Fred, Matt asked you, he said that he thinks your son died while you were over there, and I can say that for sure he did. Am I right? Am I right, Fred? Your son died while you were over there in Germany and Poland.
Right. No, I had my own agenda. I knew what I expected was expected to do. I was in making an investigation to make a report for the court, so it was pretty much my ball game. The only thing they did is they took me to the locations that I was supposed to go to, and they told me what they were. I had my own draftsmen. We had our own tools. I had hammers, chisels, star drills. We had a compass, and we had a sketch pad so we could sketch up the areas, mark the locations on the areas where we took the samples so anybody could go back and find the exact location where we took the samples out. And but I mean, no, that was pretty much my job. I mean, we had people coming through all the time that were visitors and tourists, and we had to have people stationed outside both doors at the alleged gas chamber at Auschwitz, and the our people would holler, "Okay, stop, somebody's coming through," so I'd stop chiseling, and then when I left, I'd start chiseling in, because I was making a lot of noise. And I mean, you know, when you're starting to hammer away at brick and mortar and stuff, you do make a lot of noise. So, but no, I didn't have anybody telling me what to do. It was essentially my show, because I'm the engineer, and I was doing a job for the court.
Very, very interesting.
Are you there? So,
yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You know,
Mr.
Luker, I don't think Fred's
can you hear me?
Matt and too well. But you know what, Matt, it doesn't seem like y'all are getting a really good connection. It seems like Fred's hearing about other words. So listen, I guess we'll let you do is let you and Abigail go. We're getting ready to go to the bottom of this hour, and we're going to bring Miss Monica on. You know her too well. So anyway, I'd like to thank you, Matt, you and Abigail, really, really, for coming on this show. And Matt, I'd like to thank you for being a part of my life. I got something I want to read to you right here. It says, "Dear Eddie, I hope you have an especially wonderful Christmas. If the hat is not your size, I will probably make a return trip in 2020. And find you something more suitable. Thank you for fighting for our people. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Revelation 11:11. Merry Christmas, Matt. Matt sent that hat to me from South Africa on Christmas holidays. It wouldn't take $1 million for. Good night, Matt and Abigail. Thank you for coming on the show. People will be right back right after this break. We're going to bring Miss Monica Schaefer on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
During a press briefing at the White House, President Biden gave out good news about the coronavirus vaccine.
We think that over the remainder of 2021, we're going to be able to vaccinate every American. We have enough vaccine to vaccinate every American, period, right now. And we're going to be able to do that by midsummer. And we're going to continue to get more people to engage in seeking the vaccine. I don't believe, I never have believed, that there's a large percentage of Americans who will not take the vaccine.
The Tokyo Olympics will open in July, even if the city and parts of Japan are under a coronavirus emergency. The International Olympics executive that made the declaration said the World Health Organization is assuring everyone it will be safe. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
The U.S. Military Academy at West Point is elevating about 1,000 cadets to join what's known as the Long Gray Line. They will now be Army Second Lieutenants. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin delivered the commencement address.
You've learned how to follow with loyalty. You've learned how to lead with honor. You've learned how to question with rigor.
Austin himself is a graduate of West Point 47 years ago. Humanitarian supplies are now arriving in Gaza after 11 days of combat finally ended with a ceasefire. President Biden was asked about a shifting stance on Israel.
There is no shift in my commitment, the commitment to the security of Israel, period. No shift, not at all. But I tell you what there is a shift in. The shift is that we still need a two-state solution. It is the only answer.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say somebody. Well, it may be the devil.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. As you know, in case you just tuned in late, we had Matt Goodwin. He's one of our part-time co-hosts. He comes and goes. He has a full-time job. He just got married. We all love Matt so much. Well, we had to bring him on. I know it was probably kind of a little bit jumpy, a little bit choppy, but we had to honor him, and we had to honor Abigail because I love those two people so much. And what I just read you before we went to the break, that was a note that Matt sent me, I guess back about 2016? No, about 2018? Anyway, whenever he went to South Africa, along with Rich and Janice, and he sent me a hat from over there, and I've only worn it one time, and I wouldn't take anything for it. I wouldn't take anything for this note he sent me along with that hat. I keep it taped to my wall. No amount of money would buy it. I'm a sentimental old guy. A lot of people don't know that about because I got a hot, fiery temper, but I'm a real sentimental guy. Anyway, people, we just brought Miss Monica Schaefer's coming on. If you probably recognize Fred Lutcher's voice, we got him hooked up. I think he had some kind of a phone difficulty the way he was hooked up to the show. But by the way, it was 2019. Rich just took it. It was 2019. When, golly, it's about 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years this Christmas when he sent me that hat from South Africa. He risked life and limb to going over there, I'm here to tell you. But anyway, we're bringing Miss Monica Schaefer on. And you probably recognize Fred Lutcher's voice. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to do what I like to do. I like to kind of play the option quarterback, hand the ball off, and bring people in and out of the breaks and let my stud running backs take over the show. So anyway, people, we're going to bring Miss Monica on now. We had brought Fred on a minute ago. How are you doing tonight, Miss Monica?
Doing very well, thank you. I enjoyed listening to Matt and Abigail and the first segment there. That was just wonderful, and congratulations to the two of them. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I tell you what, Matt's rock solid. Matt's been on board ever since day one. He supported us big time financially and with his body. Like I've told people, we stood shoulder to shoulder together in the Battle of Charlottesville back in 2017. We certainly did. Anyway, tonight, what are we going to talk about tonight, Miss Monica? I know you're going to kind of interview Fred tonight again. Fred Lutcher. By the way, let me just tell people, in case you don't know, in case you just tuned in, Fred Lutcher, he is the most recognized. He's recognized as an expert. He's the number one expert in the entire world. He's recognized as an expert in the nation of Canada, in the United States, and some states of Germany. He is the man when it comes to experts. You want to know what expert? On gas chambers, electric chairs. He's even designed these lethal injection machines. But he is the world expert in gas chambers. He knows what a gas chamber looks. He can tell you anything and everything about gas chambers. But that's what he testified back in the 90s at Ernst Zundel's trial. He testified there. So I'm going to shut up now. I'll just give you a background. You all know Miss Monica Schaefer. You've been listening to Blood River. Probably don't need to say a whole lot more about her because you know about her. But anyway, I'm going to turn the mic over to Miss Monica. Miss Monica and Fred are going to take off for the rest of the show. Go ahead, Miss Monica. Take us off.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, well, you know, we always do circle back to our favorite subject, I guess. It's the one from which everything else emanates in terms of New World Order and the lies that we're being told right to this very day. Actually, this current big lie is going to take over all of them. But, you know, we can tie this all together. One of the things we were talking about off air was the Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg Code, because you've probably all been hearing a lot lately about invoking the Nuremberg Code, and basically that would be about that there needs to be informed consent before anybody can do something to your body, and so that relates to the current hoax about the corona and wanting to everybody to have these experimental injections. I don't even want to call it vaccinations because they are not vaccinations in the traditional sense. They are experimental injection, and we are the guinea pigs. So they invoke the Nuremberg Code. And so Fred and I were having a bit of a discussion about that. And of course, where was the Nuremberg Code created? That takes us back to just post-World War II, the Nuremberg trials, which for most people, they think, great, those were really great trials that took care of, you know, these evil people. But everything has been turned on its head. And really, it was just a kangaroo court, or you could say the victors put the losers on trial and punished them for losing and hung a lot of them right quick because dead men don't talk. But I'm going to hand it over to Fred in a moment. Now, I don't know if you wanted to answer that question that Matt had asked in the last segment that you didn't quite catch because of a delay problem there. But if you wanted to take off with that, please do feel free to, what you were saying off air, or go ahead with the Nuremberg Code discussion that we were having and the trials, which were very faulty, and then I'll hand it over to you, Fred.
Okay, I'll finish with Matt's question first.
Yes.
Because it presented a very interesting and possibly dangerous situation for us, because her ex-husband wasn't too bright, and he had no idea of who I was or what I did.
But, and you're talking about your new wife. You had just gotten married before you went over to Auschwitz, and this was at the behest of Ernst Zundel, and this was back in 1985, right. Or was it the 88 trial?
It was the 88 trial.
Right, so 1988. Yeah. Okay, so, right. Yeah, and Matt had asked about that somebody had died while you were over there.
Her son was killed in an auto accident at Fort Riley in Kansas, and her ex-husband contacted the embassy and subsequently the State Department, and they wanted to contact me so I could tell Carol that her boy was dead. And anyway, but he did not know who I was or what I did, so he told the people at the State Department that I was America's top expert on chemical warfare. Well, of course, this presented a problem, and the people at the embassy, I guess they weren't too bright either, because Washington contacted the embassy in Poland and told them that one of America's top gas and chemical warfare experts was inspecting facilities in Poland. The problem here is that I didn't know anything about chemical warfare. I was an expert on gas execution chambers. But when they notified the embassy in Poland, they notified them on an open and an unencrypted telephone line, So now we had the Russians, the Stasi, Polish police, everybody was looking for me now, and they probably would have held me for a week or two until they found out I didn't know anything about chemical warfare, because when they finally got to us, a woman from the embassy, one of the under consuls, she said, "We have a major problem." She said, "Half the police agencies and security agencies in this area are looking for you, so you got to stay with me and be in my custody, or they're liable to take you." Well, that's all we needed. So we left the 2 days hence after we come back from Majdanek. We stayed one night at the hotel, and then we left. And I was very glad to get out of Poland without getting arrested. They would have arrested me for being a chemical warfare expert, and they were going to ask me all secret questions about America's chemical warfare program, but they would have found all the samples I chiseled out of the walls at Auschwitz. So I was very lucky to get out of there without being grabbed.
What a turn of events that was, and of course such a tragedy for your new wife to have lost her son while you were overseas, but then for this story to go that was completely false, but really could have put a big wrench into all of this whole investigation, my goodness. Well, I hadn't heard that before. Yeah, go ahead.
We cut the stay short a day at Majdanek. We were one day short, but I don't think it really would have mattered. It didn't amount to anything. Because I contacted Ernst and I told him, and Ernst said, I told him I have everything done. It's just I'm going to be some extra filming and stuff. He said, he says, never mind then, just come home, because he said that's more important. But that was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Can you imagine telling her mother that her 18-year-old son had been killed?
Terrible.
Yes, it was terrible. I'm back, and I'm back in the Stasi.
And Fred, we have to go to a quick break. We got to go to a quick break. Be right back. Be right back, y'all. We got Mr. Fred Leutcher and the one and only Monica Schaefer on the line. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada. a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Well, people, you got old Eddie the Bumper Dale Miller right here back riding shotgun. Got my two great experts coming on. As you know, Fred Lutcher is the one and only expert in the world that is recognized as such on the Holocaust. He is a revisionist historian par excellence. He knows all there is to know about gas chambers and electric chairs. How do I know he knows that? Because he designs electric chairs and gas chambers. He inspects them. He was looked about. Matter of fact, Fred didn't say it, but I'll say it. Somebody, I think, on the Ernst Sundell's defense team had called. They were looking around for a gas chamber expert. And, you know, the United States of America, we're so kind and wonderful over here. The United States of America is the only nation in the world that was using gas chambers. It wasn't Germany. They weren't using gas chambers. They didn't know what the hell they were. They called, finally called around to the Missouri State Penitentiary. And the warden there said, well, if you want to get to Sundell's, they're talking about the Ernst Sundell's defense team. If you want to get the expert, the guy we always consult with, it's a Mr. Fred Lutcher. So if you're talking to a man who knows all there is to know about gas chambers and gas execution. So just want you to know that. So go ahead, fella. Take off, Mr. Fred. Pick up where you left off during the break.
Okay, well, Monica was just kicking it over to me. Do you want me to start, or do you want to start in again, Monica?
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about these Nuremberg trials. We had talked before the show about the Nuremberg trials and the fact that now the Nuremberg Code is being invoked. And, yeah. You know, we had a bit of a debate about that. Okay, the Nuremberg Code is something that is good. However, it hearkens from these Nuremberg trials were a complete sham. And again, it reinforces the big lie about the so-called evil, bad Nazis, which currently the truth tellers about COVID keep on talking about, oh, this is just like the Nazis. And it really drives me around the bend. And I take every opportunity I can to call people out when they do that, because they are reinforcing the lie about who are the perpetrators of evil and bad, and then they are also veiling who is doing the puppet strings, who is maneuvering, those who must not be criticized lest we be called anti-Semitic for doing so. So I'll hand it to you to comment about that, the Nuremberg Code, the Nuremberg trials. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, well, first off, the term trial is a misnomer. It was just a sham so they could execute the top people in the German government. I mean, they should have been ashamed of themselves for what they did. And although the people that were involved were all dressed in military uniforms, all of the people were lawyers that were sent over after the war was over from the United States, and they were all Jews. So, I mean, it was just an attempt to wipe out the top people in the Third Reich government. There was no trial. There was no evidence presented. The courts took judicial notice of everything, and which means that they took judicial notice of nothing, since they never presented any evidence, but they hanged a lot of people for doing nothing. But one of the good things that come out of it was the Nuremberg Code, and it was a medical code that didn't permit any government to do medical experiments on people. And I guess this is what you'd call karma. The Nuremberg Code and what they did at Nuremberg, although it was bad to the Germans, it turned out later that it's going to be better for the rest of us, because it came back to bite the Jews in the ass. The code said that you can't experiment on people, and now they want to inject everybody with this COVID virus preventer. I don't know what else to call it, because it is not what it's supposed to be. It is not a serum to stop COVID. A vaccination always and has traditionally been, you take the white blood cells out of the blood of someone who was infected, and he built up antibodies. They use those antibodies to grow other antibodies, and they use them to stop the disease. That isn't what they've done here. They've whipped up all kinds of crap, and they got everything under the sun in there, and they're actually genetically modifying the human race, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And they want to make a law that everybody's got to take the injection. Well, like a news for them, I'm not taking their damn injection. And I'll cite the Nuremberg Code, and if that don't work, I'm going to shoot back. Because this is just totally ridiculous. But it doesn't matter. They were the ones that created it. And it's going to apply to them. What is good is good for the, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Well, Fred, we have one of our friends, a brother. He sent in a couple of really nice notes. I'm going to ask, this is kind of a two-part question. He said that, and we all know that Irving became in his, and you and I talked about why he kind of stopped being a revisionist, because, you know, he did 5 years in a penitentiary. But he wrote a book called Nuremberg, The Last Battle. Okay, and the second part of that, well, this is a statement that goes with that question. Our brother also says that, of course, the United States was doing the same kind of medical experiments at Tuskegee, and I can guarantee other places. And I'll tell you what, they did it on me and other people in the United States Army. I was a medic. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I was a medic. So anyway, to get back, do you know anything about the book, Nuremberg being the last battle? That title kind of says a lot. But you know anything about that?
I don't. Do you want
to? Thanks for bringing up David Irving, because we have talked extensively about him in the last few days, both with Fred and with Jim Rizzoli and Diane. I have been talking with them, and I've watched a lot of David Irving's talks and presentations. Now, in the mid-90s, he gave an excellent presentation about the Nuremberg trials. Now, mid-90s is before this whole trial happened when he took Deborah Lipstadt to court, sued her, and that was a 3-year battle for him. He lost in the end. And after that, he became very, very compromised. And I would say now he's done himself a disfavor. He's trying to ingratiate himself to the Jews. I think perhaps it's to carry on selling books, or he did suffer a lot, and I'm not walking in his shoes. However, it is very, very unfortunate, because what happens is he's undermining a lot of his really great work that he did before. However, this presentation that he gave in the mid-90s, I would recommend people to search that out, David Irving, on the Nuremberg trials, because he did meticulous research about the trials and was talking about how, for example, the defense, you know, so the Germans, they couldn't bring witnesses or evidence in, and it only the prosecutor side, they could get witnesses from all over the place. There was no limitation on, you know, expense, didn't matter. And like Fred said, the judges took judicial notice. And what that means, for people who might not understand that phrase, it's if something is self-evident, you do not need evidence to prove it. It's like saying, okay, you know, the sky is blue, you don't need to prove the sky is blue. I mean, something as simple as that. So they basically took judicial notice of the whatever they were saying happened in, you know, in the camps, or, you know, the Holocaust, it's common knowledge, this kind of thing. And they had things on display there, like shrunken heads and lampshades and soap that allegedly the Germans had made from the bodies of the Jews. And all those things later were proven to be lies, admitted to be lies. The Nuremberg trials were a complete inquisition, kangaroo court, whatever you want to call it. They were not fair and just. So that's what I wanted to comment about that. And I'll hand it back to Fred. And if you want to address any of that, or, you know, the fact about David Irving, that he's going back on what he said earlier, supporting your findings and whatnot, go ahead.
Yes, unfortunately, David Irving is he's an exceptionally good historian. He is a wonderful researcher. He understands generally what he's talking about. And he believed in the Holocaust until he got involved in the second Zundel trial. And he was called to the by Zundel's defense team to come to Toronto. And when he arrived, they told him they wanted him to testify because he was an expert on Hitler and the top people in the German government. And they gave him a copy of my report, which he read. And the next day he come in, he said, there wasn't any Holocaust. He believed the report. Everything was clear in there. I had even taken test samples. Now, that wasn't the thrust of the report. The report was that there was no engineering hardware, and there couldn't have been any engineering hardware at the facilities. And then the icing on the cake was the fact that we took samples and analyzed them chemically. So he was 100% satisfied, and he became, at that point, a Holocaust denier. And I don't like that term, because I really think we're truth tellers. But at any rate, subsequently to that, the Jews came after him, and he spoke in a lot of locations. He wrote books, and they eventually got him in Austria, and they gave him a 5-year prison sentence. He served, I guess, a year and 3/4 or a year and a half of it before they let him out.
Yeah, 13 months or so, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, he essentially made a deal with the court that he had reconsidered, and he didn't believe that he didn't believe the deniers anymore. He believed that there were gas executions. And he's backtracked to the extent that he believes the gas executions occurred not at Auschwitz, Birkenau, or Majdanek, but at the so-called transit camps. And these transit camps are where they were actually railheads, where the rails crossed, and the people that were being shipped to the concentration camps were taken to these locations. These camps were Belzec, Treblinka, and Sobibor. And they were taken to these camps, and they were put on trains going for whatever location needed slave labor at the other concentration camps.
You know, Fred, we're getting ready. We're almost out of time for this first hour. Of course, you and Miss Monica are coming back for the second hour. But when we come back for the second hour, I would like you, if you will, to go in. What What evidence did David Irving give for believing in these gas, the gassings at the transit camps? Keep that in mind. We'll expand on that question when we come back. People holding your seat, we got Ms. Monica Schaefer and Mr. Fred Lutcher on. We'll be right back. We're transitioning into the second hour. Be right back.